I want to begin this morning with a question, perhaps two questions. Question number one, do you believe you will get your payments from Social Security and from Medicare and Medicaid insurance when you retire? That is a good question and up to date. The second question is, do you believe there are creatures from outer space? The answer to the first question, do you believe you will receive your Social Security payments, depends on how old you are. If you are retired or near retiring age, you may be pretty sure you will be at least able to get back what you have paid into the system. But if you are young, your answer may be that you are not quite sure the system will be around for you to collect when you become older. Why is this so? We hear the economy is doing pretty good. The numbers tell us there is growth every year. Also, the tax revenues are on the increase. The Cold War among the superpowers is past history. No one today has the power to start a global conflict, and we have no need for great expenditures to drain our treasury as a result. In spite of all this, we have a gloomy outlook about our retirement payments. We have some numbers which tell us about our alarming deficits, but most of us do not have a smidge of an idea what they are talking about. The second question, do you believe that there are aliens from space? Well, maybe yes. Question about security? Absolutely no. Now, that is the picture in our grand world today. But how about you, my friend? Do you find it more sensible to believe in flying saucers than to have a hope on the future? I am the last one this morning to try to convince you not to believe in flying saucers, nor will I try to make you believe in retirement payments. But I will this morning talk with you about something real. I want to lay out before you how to get rid of this sense of hopelessness and give you a new and living hope. Pope John Paul II wrote a book a few years ago, Standing at the Threshold of Hope. In short order, it became a bestseller. I would suppose it was a bestseller because the Pope wrote the book, and there are millions around the world who want to read what the Pope has to say. But then there could be another reason, and that is the title of the book attracts many people who are despondent and are looking for some kind of a hope. And so this morning, I want to take a look at a book that sold many, many more copies than the Pope's Standing at the Threshold of Hope. That book is the Bible, and the author of that book is Jesus Christ. This book is the best book on hope in all the world, and Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. And he is the only hope. The hope in Jesus Christ is a living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. This hope has stable power. It does not rise and fall with the economy or Wall Street numbers, as they have been lately. It does not depend on one's mood. It's a hope that is there even when you are going through loss or grief. It's a sure hope, not wishful thinking nor desperate. It's a hope that looks into the future with confidence and eager expectation. This hope of which I speak runs through the entire Bible. It's on every page, but I want to call your attention to one passage. There are many more, but this one puts this hope in large, bold, neon display. The people of God in the early church were going through difficult times. The Apostle Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, wrote the words I am about to read, which are in his first letter, Chapter 1, and I begin reading in verse 3. I am reading from the New International Translation. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are sheltered by God's power until the coming of the salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come to you so that your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I have read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. When we read these verses, Christians should catch their breath and say, "This is awesome. A living hope that fills me with joy every step of my life's journey." Now, my friend, if that does not excite you, you have to be brain dead. Don't hold it against me for saying so, for that is just what the bestseller says. The Bible, God's Word, describes you. Apart from God, you are dead. Your mind does not work in relation to God. You cannot respond to His Word no more than a dead corpse can respond to the cry of a child. You cannot see the light of Jesus, John chapter 3 and verse 19. You cannot see that light no more than a blind person can see the sun. You are a hopeless case. You really have no hope. I read this from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 1 and then verse 12. You are dead in your transgressions and sins. At that time, you were separated from Christ, without hope, and without God in the world. Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 12. A hopeless case. But this does not mean that if you are without God that you can never get your hope up again. It means that what you call hope without God really is no hope at all. 1 Peter 1:21. It's only sort of a wish that things will come out the way you want them to come out. All it is a desire. That kind of hope disappears as soon as things go wrong. If your hope is in your ability to attain, or some notion that the world and things are getting better, then I must say, according to God's Word, your hope is as dead as you are. But I have something amazing to say to you. You may be, as the Scriptures say, dead in sin. You may not respond to a single word of God in the very way you should. And you may not appreciate anything at all in the Bible. But that does not mean God has written you off. He could if he wanted to. But the Lord is merciful. He is great in mercy. And he can give you a new beginning, a new hope. You can be born again by his Spirit and become alive to God and filled with a living hope. 1 Peter 1:3. This is not something you can do for yourself. It's the work of God from beginning to finish. In our reading this morning, Peter does not praise his fellow believers because they turned things around. Rather, he says, in his great mercy, he gives us new birth. He does not say, "Come on now, where is your self-confidence?" or "Have a more positive attitude." He talks about a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He does not suggest eternal life as something you earn. He says it's an inheritance that God provides and keeps in heaven for you. Nor does he say use all your knowledge and power to insulate yourself from sin and Satan. He says, through faith you are shielded by God's power. And then he goes on to say, it's God who is to be praised. It is God, all God, from beginning to end. That is why it is a living hope and not a dead hope, simply because it depends on the living God. In his first letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul in chapter 4 and verse 10 gives us this word. We have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men and especially of those who believe. 1 Timothy 4:10. This living hope depends on the Lord Jesus Christ. His death on the cross removes our sin and pays our penalty, the penalty that you and I deserve. His resurrection conquered death and gives to every believer life that death has no power over anymore. Ask any born from above believer what makes them know beyond any doubt that they have a living hope. They will answer you with three words: because Jesus lives. They know hard times will come into their life and that one day they will come face to face with death. But they also know that Jesus Christ was crucified, dead, buried, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven, sitting on the right hand of God the Father, and his life is now living and working in them. This life is given to them. It is not earned. 1 Peter 1:3. A new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the only kind of hope that will not disappoint anyone. And my friend, it will not disappoint you. And then, of course, there are many other hopes. And they are good. They're not bad. There are those who are in school, and they hope for high grades. We who follow sports hope our team wins. You may be one who hopes someone will fall in love with you. The unemployed hope for a job. Mother and father hope for a happy family. You may hope that your old car will not break down. There's nothing wrong with having such hope. But let's be honest. You have no assurance that any of them will fall into your lot. And they will not last forever. Our living hope is in Christ is not like that. It is not a wish. It is for sure. We do not build it on our desires. We base it on God's guarantee. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, verse 4. Many of the things we hope for wear out, become useless after a while, just simply perish. Cars wear out, houses get outmoded, jobs are lost, and we know they all finally perish when we die. But our eternal inheritance will never wear out or perish. Verse 4. God's promise to the Christian is eternal pleasures. No end to the joy that goes far beyond what we think or ask for. Heaven is a place of perfect relationship and perfect enjoyment. They will never wear out, no spoilage, no fading away. Every other hope is a dying hope. Heaven is a living hope. There are times when you will say to yourself, I hope I do not get sick. And perhaps you may be healthy for a while. But when you get sick, you say, I hope it's not anything serious. Then if the doctor says it's serious, you say, I hope it's not fatal. But what will you do now if your sickness is fatal? What will you hope for then? For all of us, at one point in our lives, our hope to go on living will collapse. Question, what then? If you are a child of God, by that I mean saved through Jesus Christ, and because you believe in Him, that He is alive, and that He has promised eternal life to all who believe in Him, you have a living hope. If you are a child of God, you will not really die. You will fall asleep and wake up in your heavenly mansion, John chapter 14 and verse 1. God will bring with Jesus those who fall asleep in him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. It's time now for us to do some self-examination. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Does this living hope have anything to do with you right now? It is so good to talk about heaven, but we are not there yet. We have to face sin, heartaches, and troubles. God's Word is so amazing. It takes us out of the world, and at the same time, it speaks directly to what you and I are experiencing in this sinful world here and now. Peter writes about the inheritance of the Christian in heaven. And then he goes on in verse 6 saying, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." He knows this not only by inspiration, but also by experience, how hard it can be living on this side of heaven. But he encourages us to rejoice with the living hope in the middle of the hardships. And one reason for that is our troubles are short-lived compared to the glory which lies ahead. Peter tells us we suffer only for a little while, verse 6. Our troubles, only temporal. Our blessings, permanent. With living hope, we can see beyond the troubles of temporal life to a glory that is more precious than all. Without hope, you cannot see anything but what you are going through at that moment. From the point of heaven, our worst troubles on earth amount to a bad weekend. As Peter goes on writing, he writes that these trials have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed, verse 7. My brother, if you have a living hope, trials will not destroy your faith. They will purify it, they will strengthen your faith, but they cannot destroy it. The Christians in Korea in the time of their persecution said, "We are like nails. The harder you hit us, the deeper you drive us." Paul's mind is in the same line of thought in Romans chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. We are reading from the New International. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given. Romans 5, verses 2 through 5. This is what trials do to the children of God. When troubles come, suffering drives us to God for life and to persevere, and this produces character. And when character is developed, it proves we are citizens of heaven, and this puts confidence in our hope. Hope now is a permanent part of who and what we are. A living hope will not keep trials and troubles out of your life, my friend, but it changes the effect trials will have on you. Hear me well. Without hope in Jesus Christ, troubles, distress, and death produce despair. But with a living hope, the same troubles only make your hope stronger. Troubles cannot destroy living hope. It only drives the hope so deep that nothing can pull it out. But then as we follow Peter, we find in verse 8, he reminds us we have not as yet seen Jesus. Do we have a problem here? Not according to the Word of God. We can also rejoice about that. We may wish we could see Jesus and get rid ourselves of doubts once and for all. But right now, it is possible for us to doubt. But it is also possible for us to repent. When he comes and we see him, it will not be possible to repent. Your destiny and my destiny, all our destinies, will be sealed. So we rejoice Jesus Christ is hidden, if I may say so, and working quietly by his Spirit to give people another chance to repent and believe. Acts chapter 13 and verse 48. Christians long for his appearing, but also rejoice at his patience in dealing with sinners who will be saved. I read in John chapter 20 and verse 29, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. And again in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, though you have not seen him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter 1:9. This is the hope that thrills every child of God. Final question. Do you have this living hope? I did not ask you if you believe something about Jesus or about life after death. I ask you, do you have this living hope? A Christian once asked a friend what he expected after death. His friend answered, well, if it comes to that, I suppose I will enter into eternal blessing. But I really wish you would not bring up such a depressing subject. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, given life by the Spirit of God, born again from above, you have a hope that fills you with joy, a hope that gives you strength through all of life's storms. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. In Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What did he say? I know the plans I have made for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Romans 15 and verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we return our thanks for this precious word and this precious truth. Thanks for writing it on the hearts of your people. Write it upon the hearts of those that know you not, that they might come to us, Jesus Christ, in whose name and to whose glory we pray. Amen.